I'm Christine Dean, and this is live from Studio A. And we're excited to be welcoming a couple of alt country performers to our studios today from different places. Frankie Lee is from the Twin Cities, and Hugh Bob, originally from Wisconsin, but just recently moved to Nashville. Welcome, guys.
Thanks. Thanks for having us.
Howdy.
Excited to have you in the studios. And you're playing tonight at the Red Herring Lounge in Duluth. Doors open at 7. Local musician Jerry Small's opening at 8, or playing at 8. Then at 9, it's Hugh Bob. And then at 10, Frankie Lee. Did I get all that right?
You got it.
Sounds right to me.
You got it.
All right. Well, they brought one guitar, and like nice boys, they're sharing it. So Frankie, looks like Frankie's going to start. What do you want to start with here?
I'm going to start with a new song called Honest Man.
An honest man don't exist. Wipe it from your memories, scratch it off. But you know me, hell, I ain't that kind. I won't bring you flowers. My love never dies. It's your own hand that holds a gun. I never want to hurt no one. You know I'm always what you want with my love. A jealous man will tell you everything, break you down just right, drive you home at night. But you know me, well, I never mind. I won't keep your secrets, I won't tell no lies. It's your own hand.
That is Frankie Lee live from Studio A. And a new tune. Is that on the new project, American Dreamer?
Yeah, okay. On the American Dreamer EP.
So let's give people a little bit of background about you, and feel free to correct me on anything that I might have wrong. So you're originally from Minnesota. Well, you spent a little bit of time in Wisconsin, so then grew up in Stillwater, and then you spent a bunch of time down in Austin, Texas, right?
That's good, yeah.
And Los Angeles for a little bit?
Yeah.
All right, and pursued a bunch of music there. And when did you end up back in Minnesota?
About 3 years ago, I came back from L.A.
And I have this impression about both of you guys that you didn't start doing your own music until kind of later on. Like, you both were doing music, but maybe working with other people. Is that a correct assumption?
That's
there?
Very correct.
Okay. Yeah, that's true. I just started writing songs a couple of years ago, but okay. I've always played in other people's bands.
Okay. And so, Frankie, how did that happen for you? And I remember seeing you just at, like, a few years, 2013, I think you released your EP, your first EP. Mm-hmm. And I think you were in town opening for Trampled by Turtles.
Yeah,
and then last year you kind of, you got City Pages named you Best Songwriter of the Year.
Yeah.
So it seems like in a short time of doing your own music, you've gotten some attention. But anyway, how did that happen? Let me let you answer the question.
I will say you are very well versed, and it's nice to come in and have people actually know what they're talking about. You got our names right, and you know where we're from. But yeah, as far as my backstory, the same as you. I played in bands, and I think I just always had the approach the same as kind of any job or trade, is that you should probably learn it before you are going to go out on your own and do it. You know, it's one thing to call yourself a singer, songwriter, musician, but you, I really liked being on the road, playing bass, learning how to, you know, watching other people kind of carve out their niche. Some people have five guys in a van. Other people, like Charlie, they go and do it themselves. You know, it's just kind of figuring out your course kind of before you set out on it. And so I spent a lot of time. I guess the reason it might seem like everything has happened really fast is because there's 10 years behind it that were spent just almost the same, just not in the spotlight. You know, I just played just as much, even if not more. And traveled a lot more, and played in a lot of different bands, from Tim O'Regan to Molly Mayer, Eric Koskinen. So it's been a long journey, but I guess it feels like it's just starting again. So it's great.
So were you doing your own music kind of behind the scenes the whole time, working on stuff?
Yeah, just writing bad songs. Mm-hmm. You know, lots of bad songs.
how many bad songs do you reckon it took until you finally started?
A couple hundred probably, but never, you know, they weren't finished. It was just, you'd play something and then someone would slowly start making food or something, you know, it would just fizzle out into a different conversation. So, you know, it's just I think when you're ready, it's all, you know, it's always a little uncertain just put it out in the world, but once you have something to say and you find your voice to say it, you know, it's a powerful thing. So
I always like to ask people this question. Do you remember what the first song was that you felt like, I got it?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I think I wrote a song called Taken Back to the Country. And I some songs you play for girls. Some songs you play for babies and old people. And other songs you want to play at a bar, you know. And this one was kind of the first one I'd written that translated across all those. So I guess what I'm trying to do is have it be hip to babies and at a bar, and grandparents can dig it too. That was kind of the first song I knew. So, yeah.
So did you start first with recording your own stuff, or did you start performing your own stuff first?
I actually a really far back story, which I've never really talked about or has been in the press, was I started playing in bar bands when I was a teenager in my hometown. But that was all cover music. We played 3 hours. It's Tom Petty, CCR, you know, Nirvana, all that stuff. So I guess I wouldn't call it my music, but I had fronted a band for a couple of years, and then realized you got to start writing your own music or stay in that bar for the rest of your life, which is, there's nothing wrong with. I just ain't my bag, you know? So, basically the first songs that, to kind of roundabout answer your question, the first songs that I wrote were on, you know, wrote, were on Middle West. They all were recorded in a day, and they were all kind of written in a very short period. So I figured that was kind of the best way to do it, you know, to put out what kind of had a voice and a story already with it, and what I felt confident with actually performing myself and saying, putting a band together behind it too. You know, that's another thing. You can write a song, but then you got to get guys to learn them.
Right.
You know?
Do you have a regular band down in the Twin Cities?
Not really. I mean, I have great musicians I play with, but I have about 10 to 15 guys I'll call, you know, depending on the gig. So, I mean, it's usually a 5-piece band, but a lot of the guys I play with are so good that they're in 4 or 5 other bands, so it kind of depends on who's available, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly JT Bates, Mike Lewis, Jeremy Elvisocker, Jake Hansen, Jeremy Hansen. And, you know, guys will pick up tours, and I know Mike's busy for the rest of the year, so I got to find a new bass player, but that's fine. There's, you know, like you and I. there's plenty of budding songwriters who want to play bass. So give me a call if you're out there.
All right. Well, we'll hear another one from you in just a bit, Frankie. But now we're going to switch over to Hugh Bob.
That's right.
That's a great name. And you're originally from Butternut, Wisconsin. So not too far from here, right?
Not too far at all.
Mm-mm. And you lived in Milwaukee for quite some time.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm playing This Is Your Life with you guys.
I like it.
But so you were there for quite some time, and apparently your band, The Hustle, that's going to be joining both of you tonight at the show, is still in Milwaukee. But yeah. You moved down to Nashville. Tell me about that.
Yeah. I just felt like it was time for a change, and a lot of my friends are down there. And being a musician, it's obviously a good place to be and be connected to other people. So we both have a good friend, Nikki Lane, and she offered me a place to live. So I moved down there. She was kind of bugging me to get down there for a while, and it seemed like the right thing to do. And I've been in Milwaukee for 15 years and felt like in some ways kind of plateaued, as far as a music career goes there, and needed to go somewhere where I could grow and challenge myself a little bit more. And, Nashville was only a 9-hour drive, so I headed that way.
And how's it going so far?
It's going great. Yeah. Besides the allergy thing I was telling you about.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Other than that, really great.
Yeah. You were telling me it's 80 right now. Yeah. And I said, hey, don't tell me about that. And then you said, yeah, but that made my allergies kick in.
So. Yeah. I just came up here and froze them out of my face.
But so similarly to Frankie, you played with other people for a long time and you just recently put out your own music. Is that right?
Yeah. There's a lot of satisfaction playing with other people, but probably similarly got to the point where I felt like I lived long enough to tell plenty of stories and felt like I could do that and wanted to challenge myself and see if I could. I started telling everybody around that I was starting a band before I even wrote a song, just everybody, people I didn't even know. So I kind of painted myself in a corner so I couldn't chicken out of it. And it worked. Started writing songs. And wrote a lot of songs about where I grew up in northern Wisconsin, being away. And, you know, growing up about 10 miles outside of a town of 300 people, and then you move to a big city like Milwaukee. And, I mean, I was living on Madeline Island, and then I moved down to Milwaukee. And the first week I lived there, I had 5 bullets shot through my house. I found a gun in my backyard and got my jaw broken with a tire iron. You start thinking about it. You know, mellow places like back home. Life's, you know, it's hard up here. It is hard, but it's in some ways it's easier too. Mm-hmm. It's safer.
Mm-hmm. And in fact, your album, I think, is called Ashland County. Is that right?
There's a song on there.
A song called Ashland County.
Yeah.
What's the name of the album again?
It's just self-titled.
It's self-titled. Okay, mm-hmm. Okay. And The Hustle. And how long have you been with The Hustle? How long have they been playing with
you? So I was playing bass in a band called The Wildbirds, and all the guys that are in The Hustle were in The Wildbirds. So my bass player was actually the songwriter, played guitar and sang, and I was his bass player. And so we switched positions, but otherwise it's all the same guys.
Oh, okay.
So we've been playing together for a long time.
All right. Well, let's hear a song from you. What do you want to play?
Well, I feel like Ashland County would be appropriate.
There you go.
You ain't got no money with a homecoming queen. You're getting older, but you ain't on a magazine. Highway unlucky, right through my town. And now we're right at home if my car wasn't broken down. Send a kiss to Ashland County. Bars burning down. Now they're planting flowers all over town. Got high on joint road in between the farms. Now they're Johnny Otto stuck with his own truck. She was a happy hooker, now she's out of love. Highway unlucky, right through my town. And I would ride it home if my car wasn't broken down. Send a kiss to Ashton County, a kiss to Ashton County.
That's you, Bob, live from Studio A, and a song from his debut solo album. And same question that I asked Frankie. So did you, while you were playing in other bands, did you have your own material kind of stewing in the background, or
yeah,
did you?
Yeah, kind of the same deal. Well, not hundreds of ideas, just a few, you know, bits and pieces. And I just always struggled with confidence and never thought it would be a song. I was like, that's a cool part. I think it's pretty cool. And it would just be the smallest bit of thing, and I would just let it sit in a notebook somewhere or record it on my phone or something. I think confidence was something that I've always struggled with, so I kind of got to the point where I had to paint myself in a corner to try to do the thing that I've always wanted to do since I was a kid. You know, like growing up, we only really saw polka music, you know, but we'd come up here actually to see the Blues Fest in the summers, and that was like the biggest deal for us in the summer. And I don't play blues music, but I got to see stuff that really inspired me when I was growing up.
Like, what do you remember in particular?
About the Blues Fest?
Any particular artist that you remember that inspired you, or was it just
there?
Playing? Or just...
I mean, everybody, like from Marsha Ball and like Honey Boy Edwards, Luther
Allison. That would have been a good one to see.
What's that?
That would have been a good one to see, Honey Boy Edwards.
Honey Boy, oh yeah, absolutely. I was actually just down in Clarksdale, Mississippi, like 2 weeks ago. Home of the Blues.
Mm-hmm. Now, and did you have an uncle that played the blues in Chicago, too? Did I see
that
somewhere?
Yeah, I did, yeah. My grandma played piano in a band, and they were called the Dairyland Aces. And, then
I like
my,
that, the Dairyland Aces.
Yeah.
That's a great name.
My uncle took that name from her, and he had a band. He played guitar. He still plays guitar and sings and plays harmonica. But they had a deal with the Chicago Cubs. He lived outside of Chicago. So for 1 year, they played on the field for an hour before every home game. So, I mean, he was a rock star to me, for sure.
Did you ever get to see that, go down there?
I didn't, no. My older brother's senior class trip went down there, and he got to see it. So mm-hmm. I know that was a big deal for him.
All right. Well, Frankie, back to you. So you released that first EP that we were talking about, and now you have a second one coming out, but you started with a video.
Mm-hmm.
Before you release the album, explain that to me. Explain
yeah.
yourself, Frankie.
All right. Yeah, no, I've had to do this a few times, and I'm still not used to it. But what basically happened is someone approached me about doing a music video, and I just shut it down right away. Not because I don't dig it or anything. I just didn't have anything in mind. I didn't have a record. You know, that's usually what happens. You make a record, and then you make a music video. But I was getting really into this film at the time that was basically just a documentary about a guy's life during the process of him trying to finish something, and I thought that was kind of cool to see, and so I started writing the songs that became the American Dreamer EP. But he would hear them, and then we'd kind of talk about ideas or things that I was doing during the day. So working on a farm or riding the motorcycle or whatever it was, you know, day-to-day things. It just kind of wasn't the rules. It was kind of nothing staged, you know. And so some of the songs on that visual album aren't on the record, but they were songs written around, you know, in that group of songs. And so the reason I think that came out first was, A, that I was unsure of what type of album I wanted to make, and B, it's I don't know of anyone else that's done that. A five-song video before they had a record. So I just thought that would be something new and different. And for me, it exposed a couple songs or parts of myself that, like he was saying earlier, it's just a little bit of a challenge. You have to kind of keep yourself challenged or inspired, and especially with what we do, because I think he would agree that if you don't have the songs, a video is not going to do much for you, you know, or a press release or a booking agent or anything, you know. So I think taking the focus off of, you know, bedazzled skirts and light machines and fog and all that stuff, and just kind of, it was a very simple, if anyone wants to watch it, it's very simple and it's very day-to-day, but I think that's kind of where the songs come from too, you know. I'm not writing anything to get really drunk to or party to or anything like that. It's more, it's songs to live your life by, you know. So, and for me, that's all that is. And now because of it, I'll have to release a little bit of music. I'm going to release an EP on Record Store Day, so very limited.
Well, and I just want to say, I watched the video earlier today, and it is really lovely. A lot of rural imagery, which goes along with your music, which definitely has a country strain to it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's horses, and you're on the road a lot, which I imagine you are anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
It really kind of reflects your life and now, mm-hmm. in some ways, I would say. So it is really lovely. So another EP, are you feeling any pressure at all to do an album, or you just want to do what's there and what you have?
Yep. I think I honestly I don't think about it as much as I think other people do. I would love to have the funds and studios and players to bang out albums, but I don't even need to go into that. Neil Young's covered all that stuff, if anyone wants to get bombarded by the state of affairs in the music industry. But for me, I just try to put my best. So if it's 3 songs or 5 songs, I wish I had 15 great songs, which I would want to release. But, you know, like I was saying earlier, it's probably what's going to go on the record. It's the best of the group that I wrote. And hopefully when you finish, something about when you finish a song, the new one will come. You know what I mean? And you can finish a song and never play it, but then it's always kind of sitting there, festering, stewing around, you know.
I think there's something really important about, you know, doing, if it's 5 songs or 6 songs or 8 songs, but it's a group of songs coming from a period of time. They could be completely different from each other, but it somehow it all makes sense as a chapter of a part of somebody's life.
Yeah, that's totally true. If you look at it like writing, I always compare it to writing a book. You know, there's people who write novels, and there's people who write memoirs, and there's people who, I really like Sam Shepard, where it's just a page, and he'll date it. And it'll be 3 years of his life, and like he was saying, each kind of clip is different, but it's all very coherent. If you pan out a little bit, you can see where he was at. He's traveling through a lot of motels in the Southwest, probably shooting movies or something, you know. So hopefully in time, too, that's what I'm hoping with all this stuff, is in time I can step back from it and actually be okay with it, because it came from a period of my life where I might go, oh man, I thought that, or I sure do miss her still, or maybe I shouldn't have done that. But, you know, it's just it's basically just a reflection of, yeah, what you said. Mm-hmm. It's just a piece of time.
So people can see the video now, and is that available on your website?
Yeah, it's on the website, it's on YouTube, and I think the current still has it up. Yeah, it's all there.
And it's frankielee.com, is that right?
Yeah, it's Frankie Lee Music.
frankieleemusic.com. And, of course, you're also on Facebook if people want
all
to find
that
you
jazz,
there.
Yep.
Well, let's hear, and so any prognosis on when the, because it sounds like you're still working on the actual release of the music.
Yeah, no, it
songs.
Actually, I did what Hugh did with his band. I picked a date before I had anything done, and so, but it will happen. And it is happening because I'm playing the Record Store that day, and it's being released.
Oh,
so
that's right, yeah.
It's April 18th, which is Record Store Day. So everybody go down to the Fetus and buy a bunch of real music from real people. And we'll be doing that down in Minneapolis. I'm actually really excited. I'm playing with Eric Koskinen. We're kind of sharing a band at 5 o'clock down at the Fetus, and looking forward to it. Love Bob, and I figured it'd be a perfect day to do it. So,
all right.
Why not?
Well, looking forward to that release.
Yeah.
What do you want to play next?
I think I feel like someone should call in and say, play something that doesn't make me sad. Should we play an up-tempo one?
Yeah.
All right. I'll play, since you're talking about all the country stuff, I'll play a song called Take Me Back to the Country. First one I kind of wrote in. 1, 2. 1, 2.
Mm.
take me back to the country. A dirt road down to my memory. City life just brings me down. All I do is drive around. Take me back to the country. Oh, take me back to the country. A ghost town's on my memory. City painted like a clown. Wear a smile to hide a frown. Take me back to the country. Billboards, trucks, and signs, and dreaming of fresh green grass, and a little girl with a lovely laugh. I'll take me back to the country. A dirt road down to my memories. City life just brings me down. All I do is drive around. Take me back to the country. Oh, take me back to the country.
That is Frankie Lee, live from Studio A. Well, so we have time for one more from you, Hugh Bob. And tell me a little bit more about your album and making that. And where did you do it? Did you do it in Milwaukee?
I'm sorry.
That's okay. The hazards of live radio. So your album that you recorded, when did that come out?
Oh, yeah. Probably 2 years ago.
All right. So it's been a while.
Yeah, it has. And we're working on the new one now. We're like halfway through it. We recorded in Benton Harbor, Michigan with Bill Skibby, who records like The Kills and Dead Weather. Black Keys did their current thing there with him. So it sounds awesome. You know, it was a lot more fun to do it with somebody with tons of awesome gear. And we're talking to a label right now down in Nashville. And kind of putting things together, I guess, you know, putting the team together. But you don't want to force anything, you know. I'd like for it to come out in the fall, but I can't really set a date because I'm trying to get everything else in place and see how those things go, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So how did the second one go compared to the first one? Because the first one was your first on your own.
Well, we made the record before we even played a show. Mm. We had it done. We had merch. I was in the basement, like, making T-shirts. I was like, this is for real. Like, I'm really doing this. And then I got up on stage the first show. And, before I even got up on stage, I thought about sneaking out the back door and just walking home and be like, you know what? I came really close, and I tried, and I tested myself, and I pushed myself, and good on me for that, but not doing it. But I got up there, and it was fun, and the adrenaline kicked in, you know, so I've been doing it since.
Well, good for you. Good for you. And so then you have had a whole bunch of songs ready for the next album, or was it hard to come up with more songs? Because usually the first one, you use everything that you've been doing for years, right?
That's true. Yeah, well, and not for years, though. It was like more like months. I wrote a song and showed it to the guys and told them I wanted to start a band, and they're all really supportive, and then they're all like, well, you know, I'll play in your band. And then we kind of just quit doing the other band. And our guitar player was like, well, you know, second song's the hardest one to write. And that kind of got in my head and made me angry, and I believed it. And so then I just started getting up in the morning, making coffee, and before I would read the news or do anything else, I would sit at the table with coffee and a notebook and my guitar. And, you know, just before everything else, all the clutter and the bills and all the things that you need to be responsible for, or you're supposed to be, I suppose. But and I would just write and play guitar, and I wrote those songs really quick, actually.
So you really just kind of approached it as This is my job right now. I'm going to do this. Now, Frankie, is it like that for you?
Not even close. I'm jealous when people say that. It's true, though. I mean, there is no right way to write a song. And every time you write one, you think it's going to be your last song. So you don't. There's really no right formula to do it. If that works, you do it. And I wish that worked for me. Yeah, I wish that worked. I'm jealous, man. 2 months, 3 months.
I have to do it that way sometimes if it's been too long, because otherwise I'll sit around with just parts of songs, like a verse and a chorus, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'll scatter myself if I don't just focus and finish one, I guess.
What's great, though, what he was saying is to work toward a deadline, which is really great on any creative level. I mean, we can speak to music, but saying I'm going to put out a record, or, you know, if, like you said, it forces him, you have to sit down and do it. It's a really good, I think people who work without deadlines, it's not that there is, you know, that's really all they're lacking. You know, it's not that they don't have anything to say, or it's kind of whimsical or something, but you have a deadline and you have five guys waiting to play with you, or a studio booked or a bar booked, you know, you're going to let a lot more people down than just yourself. So set deadlines, people.
Yeah.
Even creative ones, you know, just do it. Just do very minimal. Still have the back door open, but that's a good deadline. Really help, for sure.
Good advice.
Leave yourself with options.
Good advice. All right, well, what do you want to finish up with here?
I'll do a new one that's going to be on the next record. It's called Somewhere in the Middle of Lost and Found.
To you, Bob, live from Studio A, and a tune that's going to be on his forthcoming album with your band, The Hustle, right?
That's right.
All right. And I should mention that you guys are kind of doing a strip-down thing here, but The Hustle is going to be backing both of you up tonight for your sets.
Yep.
So it's going to sound a little bit different at the Red Herring tonight. Hubob, what's your website if people want to find you?
You could go to hubob.com or Hubob and the Hustle on Facebook.
All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Good to know. And again, that show at the Red Herring Lounge, doors open at 7. Local musician Jerry Small opens at 8. Hubob and the Hustle at 9. And Frankie Lee and the Hustle at 10. Well, thanks so much, guys.
Christine, yeah, thanks. Thank you. It was a pleasure. Yeah, it was really nice coming here.
Great pleasure to have you here. Yeah. Today is live from Studio 8. Was produced by me, Christine Dean, with help from Mike Nowitzki and Aaron Welch. To check out upcoming guests or to listen to previous sessions, go to KUMD.org and click Live from Studio 8 under Programs. This is Live from Studio 8 on 103.3 KUMD. Thanks for listening.